With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When I was in Hong Kong, there's actually no way I can learn property, to be honest. You can learn property as a normal buyer, right? Like you buy and you sell, because Hong Kong apartment market are quite crazy, like a roller coaster. But you won't be able to expose yourself as a developer.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyron Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Ricky Poon, a Melbourne-based developer who has delivered upwards of $140 million in developments in the last 8 years. After growing up in the bustling Hong Kong, he now proudly calls Australia home and shares his plans to extend that feeling of connectedness to incoming students. Poon is one to watch in the property development space with his strong trajectory and innovative approach to each project.
My role is really about development management. So I will plan out the strategy for the company. I will be the problem solver when there's anything comes up to me and no one know what's the next step should be. And I would be, I'm pretty much spend a lot of time on negotiations. In either on acquisitions, on contract terms, or even for bargaining on fee proposal. I always want the best team, but it comes at a big cost, right? So I just hope that I can get a really good bargain. That's what I want.
He describes his business, BEKL, as a family-owned private office. Although you may not have heard of it until recently, it's far from a new venture for Poon.
It has been in the market for a pretty long time, actually. But we have rebranded ourselves from Amazon Property to Beko for two reasons. One is just want to set the image right, because Amazon Property was created by the father of our other two directors. And so back then we are like a investor rather than a developer. So about three years ago, we have rebranded ourselves and we have set ourselves to become a developers. Previous development has involved in student accommodations, apartment, etc. All right, and also some office. Ever since we changed to Beko, then we have focused a lot more on creating more income generating assets. So such as we still do our student accommodations, but then we do a lot more on hotels or similar accommodations or service apartments. So that's what our strategy is at the moment for the next 5 years as well.
The student accommodation market is BEKL's main focus, even during the COVID-19 era.
It doesn't impact the development part. It actually impacts the existing asset that we have. So definitely we have heavily hit because of there's literally no overseas student here. So that really gives us a big slap on the face. Yeah, but in saying that, we're still hopeful and very positive on the student market. Mainly because we know that this education market is a big piece for Australia. So unless you're telling me that Australia as a country changing their strategy of not allowing the student, which just impossible because we got all the good uni, good school here, we still think that the student market is gonna come back and gonna be like a V-shaped kind of comeback. So that's why we never stop. So we still have development happening. You know, we're still trying to acquire more sites and bring in more student accommodation offering to the market.
Mm. And is that also the reason why you've also diversified out to hotels as well? Because you know that the tourism industry will also pick up as well eventually.
Tourism market, we have been really positive. You know, the COVID actually never stopped us at all. So the fact that I think when Victoria gone through the first lockdown, we actually transacted one site for hotel as well. So yeah, we didn't stop. So yeah, we just keep buying site for hotels. It may change a little bit of the offering. So we may not follow the traditional hotel offering to the market. We just blend it in with some mixed use just to diversify the risk. But yeah, we didn't actually stop on our acquisition.
And did you get better deals then, I guess, during that time? Because the market is sort of kind of uncertainty all that whole time.
Everyone asked me the same. Okay, so in short, no, I didn't get a better deal, but I got an easier deal. Because normally, we need to fight with a lot of different developers, you know, for a good site. What we experience is like, it become a lot more sensible. So the pricing are reasonable. We don't have to keep bidding for a much higher price, but we're still paying for the market price. So I think at least we don't have to fight too hard.
Poon grew up in Causeway Bay in Hong Kong before moving to Singapore and then eventually to Australia.
I spent my teenager time in Hong Kong mainly, but my family and my grandparents came from different places of Asia. So Singapore, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Indonesia, you know, a bit of and Thailand. So I actually did about 2 to 3 years in Singapore before I came over to Australia. And then I basically just permanently stay in Australia. I think, to be honest, childhood was not that exciting because I actually never had any comparison with the other country and all that, right? So I think that, but what I do notice is actually very convenient. You know, you just, you know, get down to your apartment and there's like grocery stores everywhere, shopping centers everywhere, you know. Like shopping is mainly your one of your main events all the time. Other than that, yeah, to be honest, it's actually Hong Kong is really, really small. So other than shopping, it's only shopping. But on the other hand is I do notice when I was following my parents and all that, you know, that's because it's so small. People were really have to think really hard to create opportunities or find an opportunity. So yeah, that part do inspire me a lot when I grew up. Like, because I've been watching how all my uncles and all that, how do they do the business, how they, you know, how do they create opportunity with different people and all that. So yeah, that do actually affect me quite a lot when I grew up.
He explains the typical occupation in Hong Kong. Though to the casual observer, you wouldn't be able to tell.
On the face, you're probably seeing them, they're working for someone, you know, in a corporate environment and all that. But behind the scene, they try to look for some opportunity to start their own business and all that. So in Hong Kong, to have your own business is actually quite common.
Poon attended the average Hong Kong City schools throughout his childhood, where he learnt a not-so-average language.
I just go to the normal school in Hong Kong. Yeah, because it's just pretty common that what you do. The only reason for anyone would like to go to international school, mainly because they actually came from overseas. Yeah, so if your parent actually migrated to Hong Kong, then you probably will go to international school, or your parent from day one already prepared to send you out. Yeah, it's only these two scenarios that will happen. In my case, because I already came from a quite a diversified background. So yeah, my parents just don't think there's a need. In fact, she actually sent me to a primary school that helps me to learn my Mandarin. It's actually quite uncommon for Hong Ki to speak fluently in Mandarin.
That's right, mostly Cantonese.
Yeah, I speak fluently, but thanks to my parents because they sent me to the primary school that teach 100% Mandarin. To be honest, we didn't actually expect that, just purely because my parents came from Indonesia. If I don't speak Mandarin, I won't be able to communicate with my relatives.
Poon's parents were in a wide variety of businesses as he grew up, each one being completely different to the next.
They're in all sorts of business. They were in foreign exchange. They were in hydraulic business. And at one point, they were in also plastic injections.
Wow, that's a very, very, very variety business. I'm curious, when did you learn about property development then?
Yeah, much, much later. So because like when I was in Hong Kong, there's actually no way I can learn property, to be honest. You can learn property as a normal buyer, right? Like you buy and you sell because Hong Kong apartment market are quite crazy, like a roller coaster. But you won't be able to expose yourself as a developer. Only when I came to Australia working for a few years, And then there's an opportunity for me to start to get into it. And then I learn it. So actually, a lot of people think that I'm a finance background or property background, but actually I'm not. I'm actually a marketing background. I actually studied marketing. But I really learned everything from scratch, learning from the foreman on the construction side, and then bit by bit, learning from different bankers, architects, and then this is how I learned property.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear about Poon's first business he opened in Australia.
When I say I wasn't a very good student, just purely because I do spend a lot of time to create my own business, being born and grew up in Hong Kong.
The innovative and effective way he got the business off the ground.
And from there, obviously the within the building, I start to get some business. But then at the same time, referrals start to come in. So yeah, that's how I start to generate more leads.
He delves into the other venture he tried his hand at and why it wasn't the failure he thought it was.
But another big lesson to learn that I was trying to walk too quickly. I tried to expand to Sydney. And obviously the business environment is very different from Melbourne. The communication and culture is so different that I don't really get the hang of it.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Sham and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, let's be real. Deals that can yield 20 to 30% per annum do exist. Don't believe me? Well, here's a story about property development I invested in Victoria. This developer had the project fully funded beforehand, but he and his family suffered a loss, a circumstance that led him to be unable to proceed with the development. So I stepped in, and in 2 weeks, we funded the shortfall, allowing for the development to continue. 5 months later, the development was refinanced and we received our funds back with interest. Yes, there are amazing opportunities in the property market like this one. So, do you want to get a better return with lower risk on your money? Then register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Coming back, Poon dives into the time in his life where he decided Australia was the place he wanted to be.
I actually left Hong Kong pretty early. So I was a student, I studied in Singapore, and then I studied in Australia. And then I work in Australia. So I only work in Hong Kong for a very short period of time after I graduate, you know, that because my parents want me to go back and help the business for a little bit. But I still decided I wanted to stay in Australia. So at the end, I quit the job. Quit it from my father and I come back to Australia. I love my party a lot and I still do. but when I was a student, when I say I wasn't a very good student, just purely because I do spend a lot of time to create my own business, being born and grew up in Hong Kong. So I came up to Australia, I think when I was doing my year one in uni, I've started running an internet cafe in Chinatown. Yeah. So that's why I actually have spent way more time in the business than at school. But luckily, the degree I was doing is actually marketing. So the business experience actually helped me a lot because when you have a real life experience, everything on the textbook becoming sensible rather than you try to hard swallow whatever your lecturer was trying to teach you and you really don't know whether it's actually useful. I think that actually becoming more meaningful for me. Is where the IT sector start to boom. It's pretty early. So back then we were talking about 56K modem, 33.6K modem.
You do remember it too. I was like, wow.
They make so much sense because you want a speed connection and you're happy to go out and use internet. Yeah, that's how that's where my first business is.
Wow, that's amazing. How long were you running that business for?
1 year, roughly for 1 year. And then it got evolved actually. So from there, we becoming a internet service provider because it's the same mechanism. So and we realized that, okay, the student wanted to have the internet connection at home. And back then we were talking about ratio, right? So one modem, you are offering to 11 people and all that. So when I was trying to offer it to 7 people, suddenly I'm becoming a quality service.
I can start to see where the themes are coming from, where the student market came in.
So that's how it is. So And from that, and then we further evolved and becoming a multimedia company. So then we start to, I think that was my first encounter to property as well, because I think I was dealing with some big projects in with the property developers. So we create website, we create back then the CD room, you know, the multimedia presentations and all that, the bank for them and all that, to show that to their investors or potential buyers and all that. So that is probably my very first encounter on about property market.
When he jumped into the student market, he got the property developers on board in an unusual but highly effective way.
I was actually a very socialized person. So I still remember when I first trying to introduce myself, what I did is actually, I, as I said, I love party. So I actually create a move-in party for myself to the office building. And I invited every single tenant in the building and come and join the party. So that's my very first business networking event to myself. And from there, obviously the within the building, I start to get some business. But then at the same time, referrals start to come in. So yeah, that's how I start to generate more leads.
He decided against building a portfolio of properties in favor of what he's doing now.
Well, back then, I wasn't really looking at other sectors as yet, just purely because I was still too young. I don't understand that. And if I earn some money, I'd rather spend it all. than actually spend on a property, right? No saving, you know, try to spend as much as possible, drain up, right? That's what I do. So I wasn't actually paying attention to that, but I just realized that the property investor actually do have big dollar to spend in terms of media stuff. They are definitely one of my big clients back then.
Wow, that's interesting, because then that's how you obviously go, wow, this would be an industry to potentially tap into. Is that right?
Not at that time, to be honest. It actually came from my parents. So when I was young, still in Hong Kong, you know, I was told all the time that, you know, eventually if you want to get to the top, finance and property sector is where you need to be. But to be honest, finance is quite a big game, and property, same thing in Hong Kong, and like it's a very small circle game. You know, like in Hong Kong, development is only, you know, controlled by really less than 10 to 20 people. So in Hong Kong, it's probably like a dream rather than the things that you can really touch. But in Australia, it's actually quite different, right? Because the government control a lot, and therefore you are actually on a quite fair environment to choose whether you want to become this or that. Yeah. So that, I mean, I do think that in terms of property, it gives us a lot more opportunity in Australia.
The whole process with the internet service provider lasted about 3 years in the early 2000s.
The reason that we stopped is actually the IT bubble burst at that time as well. So straight away, it's not about we are not actually leveraging from this bubble at all, but it's just that the market suddenly heavily impacted by the bubble burst financially, and a lot of companies actually cutting down their budget. All right, so normally media exposure and all this kind of budget is the first thing to get affected when you have to cut cost. So that got affected a lot. So that's how the business was ended.
And did you ever choose that you wanted to go out and maybe work for someone to gain experience, or did you keep running businesses alongside?
During those period, I never thought of I will work for someone, because you can see that when I was studying, I already started my own business. So I don't know how to work for someone. Like, it's not in my concept.
Yeah, in your genes.
It wasn't. So, after I came back, when the multimedia business finished, I was involved in bubble tea business. It was a good business. It was really good because that was not popular. Back then, it's actually not popular at all. It's only one shop in Melbourne, and that's it. Yeah, and the other places that you can have is actually go to restaurant and have it. So then I go to Taiwan, I go to Singapore, bring the supplies in, you know, bring the educations in and start to educate. So the bubble tea business was really good, you know, when I was doing that. But another big lesson to learn that I was trying to walk too quickly. I tried to expand to Sydney. And obviously the business environment is very different from Melbourne. The communication and culture is so different that I don't really get the hang of it. I would say that I actually fell on that. It was fruitful. I earned a lot of money through that process. but then the business didn't sustain. So and just happened that at the same time, my parent asked me to go back to help out because there's another disaster happening in China when they're having a trade war. So yeah, that's the time when I need to go back as well. So yeah, the business wind up and had to go back to Hong Kong and help out.
You're definitely a true entrepreneur. You tried so many different types of businesses, you know, even before you got into property development. So.
It's probably because of the marketing background that I have. So marketing can fit in everywhere. So yeah, it doesn't really matter which sector, which industry I'm in.
Bubble tea wasn't very popular when Poon tapped into the market. So where did the idea come from?
There is a brand called Happy Cup in Melbourne. And I was talking to them and they were selling 1,000 cups a day. All right. So because they were the only one, they were so popular. That's how I started to pay attention to this business. I talked to different restaurant owners just to get some understanding on whether this is profitable and all that. But next thing I realized is actually the retail lease is actually very, very expensive. To me, I think it's a bit risky if I just jump in like this. So then, but I don't want to give up, you know, on this market. So I just changed my mind and from doing retail business and to a wholesale business. So I become an importer of this business. And then I help others who dare to take the risk to create the business.
Following on from that, he went back to Hong Kong with a plan that didn't exactly pan out as expected.
I was originally saying that because I don't really want to go back to Hong Kong at all. So I was telling them that I will go back for 3 months and make it happen and try to revive the business and then I'll come back. But then I take it too far that the business back to normal and expand quite a fair bit. Then I end up staying there for 3 years. I was helping my father and helping my uncle. So my father is actually in plastic injections. So they were doing toy business with US. But then what happened, then the order was not there. And then I changed the model becoming disposable cutlery and utensils and all that. So I changed it. So basically it's big change. Take me a bit of effort to convince my dad because he think the cutlery market is so small and also think that the margin is so small. But I just convinced him by I can bring you big order that I can assure you, you will not have enough machine to handle my order. Which I did it, luckily. Well, I think we had actually one discussion and saying that my father was saying that he wanted me to explore the rice cooker market. I don't like it because rice, like how often do you change a rice cooker? All right. And I think cutlery, you use it every day and you dispose it, right? So, and therefore, yeah, it's proven that this is a more sustainable business that my father should have got in. So, and he did. And then with my uncle is basically just helping out on communications just because of me being staying in Australia for quite a while. So it's easier for me to help the company to communicate with European. Well, because my uncle's business actually is a bridge between China and Europe back then. So there were a lot of negotiations, there's a lot of cultural impact, doesn't really turn out quite well. I was flying in and out very often on a daily basis.
Ricky Poon's story continues in the next episode of Property Investory. We hear about the chance encounter that led him to his next venture.
Pump into another person. There's some communication problem between the store manager and this person. And I'm trying to help out because I'm quite a busybody, right? When I see something not right and I think I can help, I'll go in and help.
The mysterious case of the missing room.
Because the plan was not coordinated properly. So there are some changes happen and this is a big lesson to learn for any new developers when they're doing houses. It's like you can't fully trust your design person. You need to check it as well.
He delves into why a 40-story high-rise in Melbourne is yet to see the day of light.
Normally, in ideal world, you will expect your permit can be out in 1 year or max 1.5 years. But with this particular scenario, it has been running for 5 years. It's not taking off.
And that's next time on Property Investory. If you love the show, perhaps you're now ready to invest your money in a low-risk, high-return deal. If you are, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499 88 10 40 to become a lender. There are amazing opportunities in the property market right now, and I'm looking for lenders who want to invest their money for as short as 6 months. What are you waiting for? Don't let your money just sit in the bank. To register your interest, text me your name and email address on 0499 88 10 40.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.